Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 402, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. Oh, sing ye hallelujah. 'Tis good our God to praise, 'tis pleasant and becoming to him our songs to raise. And what follows? Psalter 402, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 19, the verses 1 through 22. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 19, the first 22 verses. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? And knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee had the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Miranda Vandenberg, who had a major surgery this past Friday. Also Mrs. Natasha DeCock, who also had surgery on Friday and is home again. Paisley Cluck, who hopes to remember her second birthday. And Simon and Jean Van Wieringen, who hope to commemorate their 61st wedding anniversary. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Our most merciful and ever faithful, a creator and upholder of the heavens and of the earth, then thou was granted on this morning hour of another Lord's Day, that thou was made it possible, given the opportunity, that we and our dear children may come up to thy courts and place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. Then we may yet be together as monuments of thy goodness and of thy patient long-suffering, where thou wast granted many a precious gift. The psalmist of old has said that they could not be numbered. And so it is with us and our children, and then we do well that we count our blessings one by one, and that we take them not so for granted, and also to be given to consider what we have made ourselves worthy of because of her great and manifold sins. To that end, wilt thou grant by the first time and by renewal a broken and humble hearts under all thy mercies, and a prayer unto thee, the living God, that thou may richly dwell amongst us. Thou hast recorded in thy holy word that thy dear son on a winter day has walked in the porch of Solomon's temple. Wilt thou so also dwell amongst us? And then we may humbly thank thee for the moisture which thou hast given on the thirsty earth, but also upon the high mountains. May it please thee, as a Job has said, for God maketh my heart soft, and that it may be accompanied with a prayer that thou may rain down the blessings of thy spirit also within the walls of thy house in this morning hour, where that thirst is not felt, where it is not experienced. Wilt thou then grant it by the first time and by renewal, and exercises concerning that thirst, and a looking up unto thee, that that thirst may be fulfilled. May there have been souls in the last days that have been exercised with the snow, where thou hast recorded in thy words of a people, though their skin sin shall be as scarlet, red as crimson, that they shall be white as the snow. Oh, for our black hearts, our vile hearts, that they may be covered by the righteousness of Christ, and then we shall be white and pure in thy presence, and that is only possible through thy dear Son, who hast taken all the sins of thy church, who hast satisfied justice, who hast paid the price, and who now sitteth at thy right hand, from whence he poureth those heavenly gifts, those spiritual gifts, and from whence he gathereth, preserveth, defendeth, but also instructeth his church. Oh, for a people that need, as thou doest in the realm of nature, that the sun may break through the clouds by renewal, and thou wast promised in thy holy word, but unto you that fear my name, as shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and they shall grow up and go forth as calves of the stall, O Lord. May it then please thee in this hour to richly bless thy holy word, that there may be an ingathering of thy church, that sons and daughters among young and old, that they may be born in Zion, that everything may become real in their life before it becomes real at the end of their life. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then remember us and our dear children in thy free and sovereign grace? Wilt thou remember thy people, O, concerning the precious passion of thy dear Son, concerning that precious blood, concerning that precious and all-sufficient sacrifice, the need, the exercises, the revelation, and the embracing, to be given to behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. Wilt thou remember our branch? Wilt thou grant thy indispensable blessing? Remember and help the leaders, the readers, and may the prayers be multiplied to that end. We may humbly acknowledge thee that in the past week that our classes could meet, that we could meet in unity, wilt thou grant thy blessing. Then thou wast granted traveling mercies to the delegates to and fro. We remember all the temporal needs. Then thou wast given in this past week that a daughter is underwent a major and a necessary surgery. Then thou wast guided the hand of the physicians. Thou wast spared her life. And now we humbly ask thee, Lord, that thou may grant healing, that thou may grant strengthening, that the surgery may prosper in thy hand. Wilt thou further remember and uphold the parents in these deep and trying ways? Then it is thy hand that it has made it possible that thou was granted those traveling mercies, and that soon after they arrived, that they have made it possible that the surgery could be performed. May thy hand be noticed therein, to receive humble, to receive broken hearts, and that it may be for the purpose of all purposes, and that is for the saving of souls. A Lord, another mother had surgery at the beginning of this week. Thou hast also helped her out and through, privileged to return to her dwelling with her husband. Wilt thou grant further healing and strengthening, grant a place at thy footstool, and may the callings be sanctified. Another young mother at the end of this past week, also in the hospital, underwent surgery, may return home. Well, thou also grant unto her healing and strengthening in the midst of the busy family circle together with her husband. Grant that special place at thy footstool, where they may be given to acknowledge thee as for thy further help, and that the calling may be sanctified. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted that are under the care of the physicians in special ways. All the circumstances are known unto thee. Thou knowest all the fears. Thou knowest how they can be overwhelmed. May they be given to bow their knees and simply tell thee how overwhelmed they are, asking for thy help, and that there may be means that they may be blessed, and above all the calling sanctified. We commend unto thee all the handicapped, all the mourning ones, and all the elderly ones in our midst. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help in this morning hour. Do open thy precious testimony, grant freedom and liberty, to declare the wonderful things of the Lord, the wonderful work of a triune God, how it is experienced in the life of thy people. May thy word then go forth with power divine. Wilt thou grant ears to hear and hearts to perceive? Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name? We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, also of this past week, of this morning hour, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 4, the five stanzas. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign? And what follows? Psalter 4, the five stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in John 19, the verses 19 through 22. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Our text words speak of the triple cross title of Jesus on the cross, with four thoughts in the first place, an accusatory title. Secondly, an honorary title. Thirdly, a universal title. And in the fourth place, an unchangeable title. The triple cross title of Jesus on the cross. An accusatory title, because it was written above Jesus that they have crucified their king. An honorary title, no accusations, but only that he was king. A universal title means boys and girls worldwide, because it was written in three languages. And in the fourth place, an unchangeable title, because we read in verse 22, Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Thus first, an accusatory title. Beloved congregation, the psalmist in Psalm 45, verse 1. Then he has written, my heart is indicting a good matter. I will speak things concerning the king. And now in this morning hour, then we are called upon to stand at the foot of the cross and to look upon Jesus, who was crucified on that cursed cross, where his suffering was inexpressible, unfathomable, where in the fourth crossword he has even cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And now in this morning, then boys and girls, young and old, then we are called to consider there was a board or a plate hanging above the one that was crucified, and thereon was written what such a one has done wrong, whether he is murdered, whether he is stolen, whatever it be, why he was worthy of death. And then concerning Jesus, then Pontius Pilate has come in a very difficult position, because they tell us that in the courtroom, when one would be condemned to be crucified, Then the judge would give instruction that they would make a board and that they would write on that board what such a one has done to make him guilty of death. And some even tell that some that they have carried that board with a rope around their neck when they were led to the cross. But in our text words, it is written, and when we read that Pilate has done it, then we may understand by his orders, by his instruction, then he has commanded those men in that courtroom what to write upon that board or upon that plate. And now for Pontius Pilate, it was a great difficulty. Oh, the wonder. Oh, what a wonder and what an instruction that is for the church, for a guilty church, that experience that they are so black and so vile, and that are given to ask the Lord that their sins may be washed away, that they may become whiter than the snow, like we see the snow outside, boys and girls. Has that been our prayer in the past days? And now the wonder for the church, that there have been many, oh, we would say seven, because also the Father, has he not declared, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, have the angels above the fields of Ephrata not sung of that newborn child? It was a child without original sin. And then before the cross, on one of the crosses and at the foot of the cross, there were those that have declared that he was innocent. But now Pontius Pilate was required to give instruction. You can picture it, boys and girls. There was a man waiting to write the accusation. And now what is Pontius Pilate instructed to write on that board? Then it is written, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Because Pontius Pilate needed something. He was responsible before Caesar. Perhaps in his mind he has thought, because we read in the first two verses of Luke 23, that the Jewish rulers, that they have come with three accusations, that he perverteth the nation, refused to give tribute to Caesar, and that he says that he is Christ the King. Thus perhaps Pontius Pilate has thought, I have a little reason when I am called to come before Caesar. Oh, it is true. If Caesar would ask me, but Pontius Pilate, it is recorded that different times you have stated, I find no guilt in this man, that you have washed your hands in innocency. Of course, it would not hold ground, but perhaps Pontius Pilate thought that would be the best to write upon that nameplate. But then undoubtedly also another reason that Pontius Pilate, that he was filled with anger against that stubborn Jewish people, that rebellious people, and that he has written on the nameplate, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, to vex and to annoy that people. All for the people, because we read it in our text, many times, usually, they were crucified close to a city on a major highway, that many people, when they would pass by and when they would see it, that they would be given to see what such a one had done, but also that they would be given to fear not to commit the same sin, that they would have an impression what an awful thing it is to transgress the law, not only of the land, but hopefully also of our God. And now the Jewish people, many have passed by, many have stood around about the cross, and they have read that subscription. And what an accusation that superscription was against the Jewish nation. The Jews, they have prayed for so many centuries for the coming of the Messiah, had many promises, exercises, and now the King has come. Have they not shortly cried out before? Also in John 12, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The children were given to sing of their King. And now the Jewish people, they were given to read in clear letters, Jesus of Nazareth, a King of the Jews. What an accusation for the rulers and for the people that they have crucified their own King. Thereby they were saying, because we have heard it, when Pontius Pilate has spoken, when we read chapter 19 and the last verses of John 18, then we read 12 times of Jesus as King. And then we read that Pontius Pilate has said, and it was the preparation of the Passover, a holy day, a holy time. And then to crucify your own King. And then we read, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your King. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your King? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. The Jewish people, they were proud of their heritage. Were they not the chosen people of the Lord? A people where the Lord has done so many wonders. And out of that people would come the promised Messiah. And now to read with their eyes literally that they have crucified their King. Thus it was a prophecy of the doom of the Jewish nation that they have openly chosen for the Roman Caesar above the Lord Jesus Christ, who has many times spoken of his coming, the Son of the Father, of his mission, and for the ingathering of his church. And thus what an accusation it was for the Jewish people that they have chosen no longer to be a separate people, but that they have chosen for the Roman Empire would be the dismiss in approximately 40 years, a little less, in AD 70, that Jerusalem would be destroyed. Our second thought, an honorary title. then we see with this title that the Holy Father has taken care of the honor of his dear son to have such a superscription written upon him upon the cross, because it was written that he was king, that he was king of the Jews, that he was Jesus of Nazareth. Then the Holy Father has taken care in his providence that there would not be a single accusation, not even a false accusation, written above the dear Son of God when he is hung on the cross, because he had no original and no actual sin. But on the other hand, congregation, may the Lord use it by his Spirit, that there may be souls that have chosen the Lord to be their king. Because when the Lord works by his Spirit, then we make that choice. Forsake the world does not mean the world shall forsake us. What a troubles we can have. But then that people is given to choose the Lord as their king with everything that pertains to the king. And oh, that kingship of Christ, his provision, his care, his sparing, give us this day our daily bread. But now what is needful, and that is declared in our second thought, an honorary title, that Christ is also priest. Because above him, people could not see it. But above the Son of God, as it were, there were written a multitude of sins. And the Lord, as a people upon the earth, by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit that become exercised therewith and that become weepers and mourners, and that they learn also their sins against the kingship of the Savior are so manifold. We have mentioned many of those sins, or let's say not all of them, when we have considered the eighth commandment. Thus the Lord has a people that has chosen the Lord to be their Lord, to be their King, but yet a guilty people with a burden of sin upon their back. And now when they may by an eye of faith given by the Spirit, given to behold that surety hanging on the cross with that precious nameplate, Jesus, that means Savior, and that means that he has come to save his people from their sins, and when in the further exercises they may be given to experience all their sins. Oh, what a large board that would be that could hold all those sins where they are so great and so manifold. And when they may be given to see that nameplate, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, then they may be given to behold the precious Lamb of God, the suffering Lamb, where the Father has imputed all the sins of his church upon him, the willing Lamb, that he has suffered and died, and then they may be given to behold in that subscription, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, what a precious proclamation for sinners that are burdened, that are troubled, that have made that good choice, but that are burdened with the heavy burden of their sin. And now in this morning, as it were, as a congregation, then we may stand at the foot of the cross, and then we may behold the suffering Savior. Then we may read those precious words on that nameplate, that it was not publicly written, a list of accusations, even though they were false, and that declares that he was the innocent Lamb of God, and yet that he was nailed to the cross with all the sins of his church. O congregation, then that precious Savior, as the King, then he has hung there with outstretched arms, inviting poor and needy sinners. And I read in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he cleanses from all sins. Oh, what a precious message. Then on that cross, then we see the words with those arms outstretched of Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool, red as crimson, they shall be as snow. Thus an honorary title, where the Father has glorified his Son, no accusations, but then a reason why he has hung on the cross, and that is so God glorifying and so soul satisfying, and there lies the full and the free salvation for his church, which he applies to the hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit, that they may be given to embrace by faith. Our third thought, a universal title, let us first sing. Psalter 397, the first four stanzas. O Lord, thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless thy name. I will extol thee every day, and evermore thy praise proclaim. And what follows, 397, the first four stanzas. Thank you. the triple cross title of Jesus on the cross. An accusatory title, an honorary title, and now thirdly, a universal title. That means, boys and girls, that word universal, that means worldwide, all people and all nations. And then we find this title written over the Savior on the cross in all four Gospels. In Matthew 27, verse 37, and said over his head, his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." In Mark 15, verse 26, and the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And in Luke 23, verse 38, a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then the question could be asked, why is it that in those Gospels it is not all exactly the same? Then it is possible, some think, that Matthew, that in those three different languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, that they were not written the same, and that Matthew, where he was writing especially for the Jews, that he has written what was written in Hebrew. Perhaps Luke and Mark, that have written what was written in Latin, and that John has written what was written in Greek, where John has written the full title. It can also be, we have that different places in the Gospels when a history is recorded, that it is not all exactly the same, and that is understandable, of course, all by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But in daily life, when there is an accident, then there may be two reporters, and they all report the truth, what they have seen, but they do not report all the same. And now that it was written in three languages, that also has something very special to say. Oh, young and old, that tells us that it is for all people and for all nations. But when we consider those languages, then the Hebrew, that was especially the language they have used in their religion for the services. That was the language that has been passed down from their fathers. Thus it is a language for the religious world. Also the self-righteous Pharisee, to declare the wonderful things of the Lord, because congregation, church people, they need the same thing. Of course, they are privileged to be under the external administration of the means of grace, but church people need the same as worldly people. We need to be born again by the Spirit, and as a poor, lost, hell-worthy sinner, come to a knowledge of the dear Son of God, over whom it was written, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And then the Greek language, that was the worldwide language of the Roman Empire, and that was the language of the culture, of the trade, and of the science. Thus that tells us that we may not make a separation only to consider that title in the Hebrew in our religious life, only on the Lord's Day and not during the week, but that title that concerns our whole life, also in the culture, business, trade, work, at school, wherever we are called to be, then Jesus of Nazareth must have authority. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And then in the third language, that is Latin, that is the language of the law, the language that the Romans used in the government. Thus also in the government, then it must be Jesus of Nazareth, a King of the Jews. And when we consider these three languages, oh, then in the government, there are still voices heard, but they are few. And in science and in culture, we think of colleges and universities with all their knowledge, then there is so little recognition of Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, also in the religious world. What a false religions, what a deceitful religions. Then it is also so necessary when we think of former times, also in North America, when God's word, when Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, when he had such a special place. And I read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to Christ. And then these three languages, then it declares that it is also for the Gentiles. Thus a superscription in three languages. And how is that in our life concerning the King? Of course, with our religion, I hope that the King may have a large place, that the word of the King may have much authority, that all of the Lord's Day, that the King may have a special place, but not only on the Lord's Day, congregation, also the other 6 days, then the King needs a place in our inner chamber, in our family circles, in the church, and in the school. Our forethought, an unchanging title. The rulers, they were at least glad that Jesus was hanging on that cursed cross. But there was still something that they were not so glad of. They were not so happy with that superscription. Let's hope there were among them where their conscience was yet speaking, that they have crucified their King, and therefore it was their desire, if it was possible, that that superscription, that nameplate, could be taken down and that it could be replaced by another. And to that end, we read, then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And then there is a special difference in those two phrases. Listen, write not the King of the Jews, and that he said, thus do you want to portray him as a liar? He said he proclaimed that he was king, but he is not the king. But then there is another difference. Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Do you hear of a little word of three letters that is missing in the second phrase? I shall read it once more. Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Then that word "the" is missing. Thus they have asked him to write that he has said that he was only a king. And there is a great difference between a king and the king. And that is now the question in this morning for us. Is he now a king? Or has he, by the grace of God, become the king? I think our children can understand and feel the difference. A king, that means he is only a king of many. But when we say the king, that he is the only true king. And how is that now in our life? Concerning those two words. Or, and that is of course very sad, if in our life, if he is not even a king, such a little part in our life, in our thoughts, our exercises. We even read in Psalm 10 verse 4 of the wicked that God is not in all their thoughts. And how does that now become evident, congregation? When perhaps we can hardly say that he is acting, that becomes evident, the place that the word of the king has in our thoughts, in our life. And then we have mentioned those three languages. Thus in all of our life. But let us hope, at least a king, that he does have part in our life. Also God's word. Read it, search it, pray over it. Ask for the Lord's will. But a king, that is too short. What would you think of a young man that had a bride to be, and she would tell him 50-60% of my heart is for you, and the rest of my heart is for something or someone else? Then that bridegroom would have great concern. Thus then you hear, congregation, the great difference between those two phrases, that the Pharisees, the rulers, they have asked that Pontius Pilate would change that subscription on that nameplate that he had said, I am not the king, but king of the Jews. Or when it may become in our life that he indeed becomes the king, the only king. There, of course, is only one true king. But in our thoughts and in our life, then we can have many other kings. First place, of course, that I. Because in paradise we have tried to dethrone the Lord. But now the Lord has a people upon the earth that they are given to choose. And that is not only by the mind, does not go outside of the mind, but that is a work in the heart and a choice of the heart that they are given to choose him as the king, and that they give their full obedience and allegiance, although many times they need to be ashamed and to be that publican in the back of the temple with the prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thus, what a word of examination. And how concerning the word, the king. Then there are many marks. The Spirit grants those graces of faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is charity. And then that people, they are given to show by their life, by their walk, but also to confess with their mouth that that has been their choice, that is their desire, and then it is the desire for such souls that they may hear it from the King himself, that they are his, it is true. They are given to call themselves servants and handmaidens. What an examples we have in the scriptures. But now they need to hear it out of the Lord's mouth that they are his. And to that end, and that subscription to be given to read more, it is true. It focuses especially on the kingship of the Savior, and that kingship has been spoken and stressed much already in the beginning. Think in Luke 1, when the angel Gabriel has spoken to Mary, the verses 32 and 33, then the angel has spoken of his kingship, of his dominion. Think in Matthew 2 of the wise men, that they have also come to worship him who was a born king of the Jews. And now on the cross, what a precious subscription, and that he is the king of his whole church, and that he has declared before he would ascend into heaven in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Oh, in that subscription lies declared those precious words, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But now for his subjects, and then it is necessary that by the Spirit that they are led into the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are given to behold that on that nameplate, that there were no accusations because he was the Lamb of God without blemish and without spot, but that he has hung there because of his church. That was the joy, as I read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, the joy that was set before him, that he has endured the cross, Then the church is given to learn and to experience, and to that end, I read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they shall mourn for him whom they have pierced as one that mourneth for an only son, that they are given to see that on that large nameplate all their sins have been fastened, have been nailed, as I read in Colossians 1, verse 14, to that end the king has suffered, to that end the king has died, but he is also risen, and he sitteth at the right hand of God, and there he is king forever. And now we read in verse 22, Pilate answered. Oh, it was not an easy day for Pilate. A difficult day. Would even become more difficult, the 3 hours darkness, what that must have been for Pontius Pilate, that he has nailed an innocent one to the cross. Then undoubtedly Pontius Pilate was stressed, he was anointed, and he was tired, and then he has spoken with authority. And therein we may also see the words of his father concerning that precious subscription. What I have written, I have written. And O congregation, then we may ask concerning that nameplate, how readest thou? What does it do to us? Because it was a special subscription that was written above the Savior. Oh, I hope that you are not like a Galileo, who careth for none of these things. But now it is so necessary. Of course, already an impression. What the Lord grants profound impressions in the conscience, that we do not only need him as a king, a little, hope a little bigger part of our life, but that we need him as the king, that he becomes our all, but that we also need him as priest. Ah, there were those that even mocked. Read that in the Gospels. Thou be the king, save thyself and us. But may it please the Lord to use the proclamation of these words. As the Lord has used them, we may believe. Because the thief on the cross, he believed that subscription, superscription, that he was king of the Jews. Because he has prayed, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the centurion at the foot of the cross, when Christ has died, surely this is the Son of God. This was a righteous man. Then Jesus, with that superscription, that accusation, then he has separated the one cross from the other cross. That other murder. He has continued to harden his heart. But the other, he was saved. Thus that superscription, 2 Corinthians 2, the verses 15 and 16, a savor of death unto death, a savor of life unto life, congregation, may be declared that there is a Savior, the dear Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, who can save to the uttermost and is saving his church to that end. May the prayers be multiplied that that King may do a great and mighty work, always sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And from thence he is gathering his church, that the unconverted may be converted, those halting upon two opinions, that an a may become a the, and that his children may be further instructed concerning that priestly office of Christ, and that the King may be praised, because they read in Isaiah 43, verse 21, "This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise." And Paul has written of that glorious King who was hung on the cross with outstretched arms, and who now sitteth at the right hand of the Father, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let us close. Our Lord, may it please the great King to bless the word in this morning hour, that the subjects of that King, that their number may be increased. And where thou hast begun that good work, that their faith, their love, their hope, it may also be increased. To be given to behold him, where we read in thy word that he has loved them to the end. Lord, wilt thou graciously watch over us in this day, also over the slippery roads. Grant unto family circles, fathers and mothers, freedom to speak in the midst of their family circles with their children as husband and wife concerning the King. Return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 197, the two stanzas. "Now blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous works and glory that excel." And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a Good Friday service on Friday evening, March 29, at 7 p.m. And the first wedding announcement of Willem Gerard Niels and Dale and Joanna Slingeland. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And the Banner of Truth and the Israel Magazine are at the exit. 197, the two stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.